Join us now for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
If you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like to just a moment. I will be talking and teaching on the subject matter of things. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, where in just a moment we'll talk about things. You have things. I have things. We all have things. In some situations and cases, it's more than having those things. Those things have us. Now, something all of us have in this room in common is that all of us have words. That's a thing. A word is a thing. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 18 and verse 21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, how many of you have come tonight to hear a word that is life-giving and a word that's filled with the blessing of God? And you think that is an important thing. That if tonight you came and all you heard was criticism, all you heard was words of discouragement, you might be tempted to get up and leave. All right, well, at least I know who's leaving in just a moment. I think it prophetically ironic that Pastor John would send us today's blessing and how this has been reserved and set aside for this Sunday morning, but how appropriate that it would be spoken over us tonight, because it's consistent with what God has already been saying to us. So if you'll get your hand, it's a thing, get your hand up in the air, wave it around like you just don't care. I bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you to know God's love, to realize that He is thinking of you constantly. May He be a strong refuge when trouble comes. Where did I hear that before? He is close to those who trust in Him. So be strong and courageous, all of you who have put your hope in the Lord. May the Lord deliver you from the fear and the anxiety that threatens to overwhelm you. May He encourage and strengthen you so that you can clearly see things as they are and not as they seem. May peace flood your mind as you allow Him to take control. May the hilarious joy of the Lord be your strength today. May the Lord God be your strength and song, for He has given you victory. May a new song in your heart remind you that God has been good to you, and He'll be good again. So I pray that God, who gives you hope, will keep you happy and full of peace as you believe in Him. May you overflow now with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, if somebody would just allow that blessing to get in them, pressed down, shaken together. Oh, if it would just start to overflow, and splash on those around you, we might just get something out of Bible study yet. Now, I love her energy. I love her outside voice. And as security comes to remove her from the building, let the redeemed of the Lord have their say-so. Take a moment and have your say-so. Speak over your life. The Bible says that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So our words, in many ways, are a reflection of our heart. And our heart is filled with thoughts. And what we focus on the most is what's most likely to come out of our mouth. The words are the fruit. The thoughts are the root. Did I get it right? Your thoughts are the root, and your words tell on your thoughts because they're the fruit. If you want to change the fruit, you're going to have to change the root. So right now, Red Rover, send Roto-Rooter right over and root out every poisonous, every toxic, every negative, every harmful thought that has been affecting me and infecting me. I fill my thoughts with the blessing of the Lord. I am blessed coming. I am blessed going. I am a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. I am looking to come out of my trouble because I'm going to trouble with my triumph. You better keep an eye on me. Though this word of death has been spoken over me, the blessing of the Lord is within me. And when I cannot find the water of God on the outside, I will find the rivers of a living God on the inside. So devil, you just think you got me backed into a corner with no way out. You just thought the word you spoke over me would destroy and defeat me. But you better hold on, because I'm not dead yet. You better hold on, because I'm not defeated yet. I may have been a little discouraged, but my courage got its blessing back tonight. And so I go to the root of my thoughts and begin to think big, because I serve a mighty God who said all things are possible. So take your things, load them in the bags of all. Now speak life. Well, let's just speak what's there. We've been looking at how Paul took time in Philippians, the third chapter, to begin to compare the difference between having a real relationship with God and the futility of having a relationship with God according to the law. And let's back this party train up to verse 7, where it says in Philippians chapter 3, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Again, we're talking about things. And specifically, we're talking about your thoughts, because your thoughts are things. Verse 8 says, yea, doubtless, and I count all, say it with me, things, but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I found that many desire the perks and the power of his resurrection, but there are few willing to endure the fellowship of his pain and his suffering. And yet, throughout the Apostle Paul's life and throughout ours, these two things go hand in hand. And in this passage of Scripture, Paul gets right to the point, and he asks something of us. In fact, he wants us to ask this of ourselves. And the question simply is this: what things in life are most important? In verse 8, notice what he says about his things. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul is counting all things but loss. That when he compared his things to knowing Christ, there really was no comparison. It's not that he's saying here his things were worthless. It's just that he has counted the cost. And with that cost in mind, he has decided to reposition and rebuild everything in his life around the greatness of knowing God personally. God is calling us to reposition ourselves and to rebuild our lives around the greatness of knowing God personally. In verse 9, he uses a Greek word here for the word knowledge. That word refers to having more than just an intellectual knowledge of Christ. Our services are designed not just for you to attain an intellectual knowledge of Christ, but as Paul is writing here and using this Greek verb, he's talking about you and I knowing Christ both personally and experientially. Put those three things together: having intellectual knowledge, a personal knowledge, and an experiential knowledge of Christ. It simply comes down to, the Apostle Paul says this, it's all about sharing life with Christ. It's about life in Christ and Christ's life in me. In verse 9, notice what his prayer is. His prayer is to be found in Christ, not having his own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, that the righteousness which is of God is by faith. Paul is recognizing and saying that his union with Christ was made possible only because God. Only because God imputed Christ's righteousness to him so that it was reckoned by God as his own. Because of this righteousness of Christ and from Christ, he can now have a real relationship with God. That he's been set free from the futility of trying to have a relationship with God according to the law. This is what I found. I found that all too often, our righteousness, your righteousness, my righteousness, is many times, it's not found in him. But we are found warring in our own strength, trying to work out our own righteousness. And for the most part, most believers seem to be able to receive just enough of Christ's righteousness to make it to heaven, but not enough to truly walk secure and confident in his righteousness here on earth. This is a war that I believe the Apostle Paul understood and knew. In just a moment, we're going to look to where he wrote about it. There is a war for righteousness in each of our lives. The enemy wars against us, and he uses the law. The law that Christ did not abolish, but the law that through his unconditional love, through his sacrifice, through his mercy, and through his grace, he fulfilled. But the enemy sets aside his mercy, sets aside his grace, and then the enemy comes and he battles against us with the law. He uses the law, he holds the law against us, and he belittles our faith. He belittles our worth. He questions our sin. He questions our shortcoming. Have you ever had the enemy tell you less? Have you ever had the enemy tell you, hey, you're too much for me. You're too righteous for me. You have overcome me. Overcome. It's a new word. Look it up. All you English teachers, it's in the new book. You've overwhelmed me by your faith. Have you ever heard the enemy say, good job, just keep on praising? You ever heard the enemy say, I know you don't feel like praising. I know you don't feel like you have peace. I know you feel abandoned in your storm, but I got to tell you, you are putting me to flight tonight by your praise. You are putting me to flight by your clapping, by your greeting one another, by you caring for others. You better stop this or I'm going to have to give up on you completely and find a new job. You've never heard the devil tell you that, unless it's your spouse. So as we go to Revelations, we see this voice that the enemy uses, and he uses the law against us, and he uses it to belittle us. Revelation 12 says in verse 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven, and I heard this loud voice say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. Now we're talking about in the future, how God is going to deal with and battle that spirit of the accuser who's battling us right here and now. Verse 10 says, for the accuser of our brothers and our sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has now been hurled down. Daily, the enemy shows you in the view of not God's mercy and not God's grace, but he shows you the view of the law. And in and through the law, he weighs you, he measures you, and each time he accuses you and finds you lacking. You'll hear thoughts, because thoughts are things. And they're powerful thoughts, because they're the root of what ends up being what we think on the most that eventually comes out of our mouth, that it ends up being death. Death to our faith. Life to our fears. Death to our peace, life to our pain. Death to our hope, and life to our hopelessness. See, we're empowering something in our life. It starts somewhere. A thought is a thing in tonight's teaching that I believe you think on long enough, it'll become a word somewhere. Because misery likes company. And very few people can stay quiet for very long. Especially if you're Pentecost. Can I have an amen? So 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes in chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says this in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, kid not yourself, we walk in the flesh, and yet he says we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In verse 5, he kind of starts talking about how something gets a stronghold in us. That stronghold begins with an imagination, a high thing that you think that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And he's saying here, you better watch out. If you are going to war, you cannot come to this war with only your strength. You better come with the strength of God because you are fighting the spirit of the enemy. And when the accuser comes in like a flood, you raise that standard of God's word and take into captivity every thought, because thoughts are things, to the obedience of Christ. Have you noticed that something will just pop into your mind? You have just a thought. It's just a thought. You're not sometimes even sure where that thought came from. But that thought sometimes will have a worst case scenario. Oh, it hasn't happened yet, but it could happen. And it'll make you look back at some things that had caught you off guard before. Some things that should not have happened, but did happen, that you didn't see coming. Now, all of a sudden, you are distracted because you have given that thought entrance at another level. And you have moved your focus from taking captive all those thoughts with God's word. Now you're using your words. Maybe it's internal, maybe it's external, but you're using words to describe your thoughts. And those thoughts just get further and further and further up until now they exalt themselves above you. And by that point, that thought, that thing, has now become a root. And the longer you think on that thought and that thing, the stronger that root and the more of that fruit. Ask your neighbor, are you breathing? It's the war. It's common in each of us. It's actively accusing each of us. And many times those thoughts will come into agreement with what a previous season, a previous person, a previous experience has left us feeling or left us hearing. And it will belittle us and it will battle us. And the peace we had in praise and worship, we've lost it before we ever got out of the meet and greet. Are you breathing? Some of you are looking at me like we're on a roller coaster and you're holding your breath. Because you're thinking, oh goodness, we are not going to get out at 8 o'clock. It's a school night. Has he forgotten? He is getting his preach on. He is getting wound up. I can see the red level starting to go up. It's just above his whiskers. I'm tracking. Stay with me. A lot of times, we act shocked when the fruit of discouragement shows up on the outside when we shouldn't be, because we've been entertaining the root of depression on the inside. This is what I do when I want to hide from you and go to a very far away place where you can't get me. I'm in my refuge. I'm in my silent zone. You can't hear what I'm saying, can you? I'm in the cone of silence. Cone gone. Some of you have seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you think, I believe he's forgot his medication today. But let us go on. Some of us act shocked when we hear ourselves on the outside, rehearse our junior high insecurity at age 55. We're shocked that's the fruit when we really shouldn't be, because the whole time we've been intertuning and entertaining our weaknesses on the inside. Proverbs says in chapter 23 and verse 7, as a man, we're talking about things. Thoughts are things. You cannot afford to leave your things just laying around. I have a dog. How many of you know I have a dog? How many of you know for 53 years of my life, I did not know I wanted a dog until my wife told me, we're bringing a dog home this afternoon. This dog leaves his toys out all over the house. He leaves his things out at night. This week, my girls forgot to clean up his things. So in the middle of the night, I got up and realized I thought I am thirsty. And I thought, Greg, you have some diet cream sodas on the top shelf. And I thought that diet cream soda and a bite of a Reese's cup would quench my thirst. So I got out of bed and I'm going through the dark living room when I stepped on his thing. And it's this little pig. It's a shape, it's a real little pig, it's a plastic toy, and it has a squeaker in the middle of it. When I stepped on the squeaker at 2:45 a.m., I thought I better go to the bathroom first. It frightened me, to say the least. I mean, I don't even know if my core is still right after that moment. Any of that ever happened to you? I can't get back in the groove. You cannot afford to just leave your thoughts laying around. You can't just leave your thoughts around doubt and expect to find your destiny. You can't afford to leave your righteousness out laying around worldly things and then be shocked when you're in the flesh. Well, how many of you are glad I'm almost done? Amplified version treats this 2 Corinthians 10 like this. It says in verse 3, for though we live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. I love this. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. I want to pause there, and if you guys could leave that scripture up so I can still see it, thank you. When you lay your thoughts around, you give entrance to the enemy to build a stronghold. Long before a man turns a television or a computer on to look at nudity and pornography, his thoughts went there before his eyes got there. He thought about, are you tracking? See, long before something shows up on the outside of us, it's begun to be given an entrance on the inside of us. Long before something has a stronghold on the outside of us and it shows up in the root of our behavior, it somewhere has been entertained and fixated on and focused on inwardly. Before it goes public on the outward, it has a stronghold on the inward. So you got to make sure that you understand that part of fighting the good fight of faith, part of fighting this warfare, it begins in you. It begins in you policing your thoughts. You allowing the Holy Spirit to see in to you. We live in a day and age that we have social media, and as never before, we are able to connect to others quicker than we've ever been able to connect. And yet, social media has come at a great cost, because with social media, we've lost intimacy. Because on social media, we can present a picture to the whole world of who we want them to think we are, and nobody really can have entrance into who we really are. Because intimacy requires closeness. And the closer you get to someone, the more into me you can see. So we keep people at a distance, lest they get close and they can see into me. Are we breathing yet? Because we got 5 minutes to stop breathing and start overcoming. If we're ever going to be victorious in this warfare, then we have got to stop giving inward ground to the enemy by laying our thoughts around. We can't just lay our thoughts around. We can't just lay around the house and be spiritually lazy. We can't entertain thoughts. Woe is me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody sees me. Nobody values me. I don't feel a part. I feel left out. I feel disconnected. I feel unwanted. I feel unloved. What have you done to yourself? We've done it many times to ourselves. In one breath, we're binding and rebuking in the enemy, and we're binding and rebuking the enemy at the front door, but we've left the back door wide open when we choose not to watch our thoughts. I want you to go home, and when you're picking up after your kids and you're picking up their things, I want you to think deeper than that. I want you to go to the place in you that says, man, what have I left laying around in my mind that can be the building blocks for the enemy to have a stronghold in me and a stronghold over me? I close tonight by pointing back to Scripture. Let me go to verse 4 here in the Amplified. It says, the weapons of our warfare, they're not physical. They're not weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments. Man, when the enemy comes against you, he studied you. He studied your speech patterns. He studied your thought patterns. He knows what's at your root because he's been looking at your fruit. So he has long before he got to you put together a sophisticated argument, an exalted, proud thing that will set itself against the true knowledge of God in you. And if you're not on your mark, every one of those thoughts that he presents to you in a sophisticated argument, you won't take it captive, it will capture you. Can I remind you, this loud voice, it accuses us internally day and night. It speaks to us as we are supernatural human beings. He is the supernatural, we are the human. Christ and his righteousness in us is the supernatural, but we're still walking around in a fleshly body. Are you still breathing? I got 2 minutes. He uses imaginations. Man, here's a great example. I've noticed when I've come to church lately that DJ has just not been the same towards me. He's been very distant. And he may not have been very distant. But by the time the enemy has studied that relationship out, by the time he has presented this sophisticated argument, if you are not on your mark, it will look like the truth. And your perception, you must be careful, because your perception is your reality. But many times, reality is not your perception. Oh, I got my daddy finger out now. The enemy uses imaginations like that. Wow. Pastor keeps looking over here at me. I wonder if this sermon is directed at me. Well, let me just set the record straight. I leave you with this thought, and then we'll pick this thought up next week where Paul begins to talk about the war at work with him. You know, the whole passage of Scripture in Romans 7 where he talks about, you know, the thing I want to do, I don't do, and the thing I don't want to do, I end up doing. We're going to talk about do-do next week. So we're going to get there, and we're going to be overcomers about doing the do. Now, I don't know what you heard, because some of you have been entertaining thoughts, and them thoughts are receiving stuff I'm not even saying. Oh, God, root out the evil in them. I want us to pray. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to be courageous. We're going to ask the Lord to show us the defeating things, the defeating thoughts, the sophisticated arguments that the enemy has kept using on us over and over and over again. Go bold now. Ask God to show you. He will. Show me. Show me these things. Show me these things, these sophisticated arguments. Show me these vain imaginations that have been blowing me up, that I've been listening to, I've been fixated on, I've been focused on, and it's just spoiled my spirit, and I'm walking around angry and mad and bitter and unloving and hopeless and orphaned. Some of you aren't doing it. I'm talking and you're looking at me. There's no way you could be talking to God while I'm talking to you. Okay, so you got two ears. God's got one. I got the other. Pray. Ask the Lord, show me. I'm tired of being tripped up.
This concludes the message. For prayer or more information, email prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call 281-554-3600. Thank you for listening.